Okay, so this is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted today to be with Griffin Rue, who's curating an exhibition in the Ballroom Marfa here in Texas, which begins March 12th and runs through August.
And March 10th.
March 10th, I'm sorry. Griffin, maybe you can just talk about the show a little bit very briefly, and then we'll unpack it.
Sure, that sounds good, Roger. Thank you for having me. So the show is called Strange Attractor, and many of the works have to do with sound. There's a number of works by contemporary artists, a number of works by dead artists, and the show explores networks, abstractions, financial and psychological abstractions, and sound.
Excellent. So why don't we just talk maybe as a way of getting into the landscape, the conceptual landscape, a number of the specific works. And as I understand it, it's a mixture of commissioned works and existing artworks. Is that right?
There's three monumental commission works. Two of which involve sound, one of which involves a sculpture grown from mycelium mushroom, and then a number of works which are existing works in a variety of media.
Okay, so maybe we'll just begin with the mycelium piece. We happen to be very interested in Leonardo and art and biology in general. And it is amazing how living materials have become a source of artistic work. So the work is by Philippa
Horan. Yes. And she's a young British artist who's growing a figurative mycelium-based sculpture of Charon, who's a Greek creature who ferries the dead across the river Styx. When you place a silver coin on his tongue or across his palm with a coin. And so the sculpture would be a larger-than-life depiction of Charon and grown entirely from mycelium.
Huh. And then the work is that work installed outdoors or indoors?
I think we're going to install it indoors. But it's a biodegradable sculpture, stronger, 30 times pound for pound stronger than concrete, which she would like to then use for different purposes and kind of recycle and roll into other artworks. And I'm sure she'll continue using mycelium because she's essentially a pioneering artist using the material for artistic purposes.
And as you mentioned, I think, as we were chatting, that material is now also being used in interior design and various applications?
I think, yes. IKEA has rights to using the material, and she's working with the Ecovative Lab based in Albany, New York, to grow her sculpture. So people are exploring it for design purposes, for furniture, for creating objects similar to 3D printing applications with mycelium for replacing plastic packaging.
Yeah, the reason it tweaks my interest is I'm interested in general about how artists appropriate new materials as they appear. Now, not all materials turn out to be suitable for art making, but until you actually try, it's often hard to understand the
yes.
material and the structural properties and so on. And so artists sort of play an interesting role of cultural appropriation in this area.
That's a very interesting point, and I wish that we had Philippa here to actually discuss it because she's given so much thought because of her experience with trial and error growing things from them. But she's basically sculpting, I have to ask her for the specifics, but I think she's making plaster models of each limb of the body of Charon and then creating these molds and then seeing what happens over time as the mycelium grows into them. And there's the whole question, though, of which parts of the sculpture will be living and which parts will be dead, and the transportation of mycelium and perhaps for the installation of Xu or Chu, inject spores into the mycelium and then have elements of the body be living. And but she's worked with resin and plastics for a long time and used animals in different ways, creating figurative sculpture work in the past. So it's really in line with the larger body of work that she has.
Excellent. Anyway, so that's obviously a contemporary tendency as new materials are being generated in various ways, and it's a topic of interest to me. But let's just turn to the two large outdoor pieces, maybe beginning with the work by Haroon Mirza.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that work.
Haroon is, some people would call him a sound artist, and I would call him a composer of objects, because he's kind of in this unusual place of being an artist. He studied painting, and he has a background in studio arts practices, but he also comes from a musical background and interest in club music and electronic music, avant-garde music. And so he's creating a monumental sculpture of nine stones which face each other in a circle, the proposal is that you can visit this sculpture or happen upon it, see it in the landscape as a foreign structure in the Marfa Desert, and visit it. And if you're there at the right time, then you hear it perform a piece of electronic music. And so this music would be emanating from the stones because of speakers embedded inside of the stones. And he's done prototype works and some complete works of this concept previously, of stones which have LEDs embedded in them, which is a trademark thing he does in his electronic pieces and paintings, LEDs which pulse colors in accordance with the sound. But the real kind of kicker is that there's one stone similar to Stonehenge, which would have a solar panel embedded to it. Now, the heel stone, which in some people's thinking is a kind of like one of the keys to Stonehenge, is there's a stone off to the side they call the heel stone. And so this one would be affixed with a solar panel, and then that solar energy would be collected and then powering the speakers. And also, it would have to do with the form of the music. So if the sun is shining to a certain degree of brightness on the solar panel, then you would hear a different dynamic of sound, as opposed to if one were to cast a shadow over the solar panel.
Okay, different. Very good. I think we discussed it. We're probably going to do a second podcast where we're going to talk about the use of sound in some of these artworks. So and let me encourage our listeners to listen to the second podcast. Let's just end up this podcast with maybe a discussion of the work that you're trying to get from Edgar Varese.
Sure.
And as I mentioned to you, he actually published in Leonardo in one of our first issues in the 1960s, because he was a friend of one of the members of the editorial board, A.L. Copley, who was a New York abstract expressionist.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the Varese work that you're trying to get.
I'm interested in borrowing from the New York Public Library these two Varese drawings of deserts, which is a composition he made somewhat inspired by his time in New Mexico. And these are graphic scores for the tape music, for the kind of music concrète, which is the natural sounds that he edited together, what he calls interpolations to deserts. So it's tape music which enters into deserts, and he was kind of plotting out how that might work in the context of the composition. He's also kind of freehand sketching, and there's different colored pencil for different ideas, and they're just beautiful drawings, which also have this kind of look as if it's something that could have been plotted from the natural world, like a transcription.
Very good. Yeah, I think Varese is someone who's been undervalued in the history of contemporary.
I agree, yeah.
So I'm delighted that you're trying to include some of his work. We're going to have to wrap up this first podcast here in a few minutes. For listeners that want to find information, I guess the easiest thing is just to Google Ballroom Murpha and Strange Attractor. It's the first thing that comes up on the search engine. The opening is then March 10th, is that right?
March 10th, 2017, and it will be on for 6 months.
And you said there's also some kind of a festival at the same time in Murpha?
There will be the Murpha Myths Festival, which is a music festival, which is also an interesting interdisciplinary type festival, which is put on by Mexico Summer Records as a partner with Ballroom Murpha.
Excellent. So, as I said, I'm going to try and make it for the opening, and I look forward to meeting you then. So, let's just wrap up this first podcast, and then we'll start another one where I'd like to explore a little bit more your personal interest and the professional interest in the connections between visual art and sound.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, Griffin. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger.